Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on, and see the reward of the wrong ones. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent.
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. If this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. As we continue to count the Omer up to Shavuot, or Pentecost, the day after the seventh Sabbath following the Feast of First Fruits, we will continue to take a look at events that transpired leading up to that first Shavuot after Yeshua's resurrection. Last week we looked at John 19:31 through 20, verse 1, and Zechariah 12 as it relates to the verses in John, and the first and second comings of Yeshua. We proposed that much of Zechariah 12 could be tied to the end times Passover associated with Yeshua's return some year. Then we tied this theory in with Mark 16:9-15. If you missed that program, please go to hiswordheals.com to download the podcast for free. Today we are going to look at John 20:19-31. We will see that the first two times, according to John, that Yeshua revealed himself to the disciples as a group after his resurrection were likely both on Shabbats. More specifically, the first two of the seven Shabbats leading up to Shavuot. If this is the case, then this would highlight even more the importance of guarding his Sabbaths as well as counting seven Sabbaths from the Feast of First Fruits up to Shavuot. These are important days, and he says they are a sign between himself, Yahweh, and us, his people. Exodus chapter 31, verse 13 says, "And you speak to the children of Israel, saying, My Sabbaths you are to guard by all means, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I, Yahweh, am setting you apart." It just makes total sense that Yeshua would show himself to his followers following his resurrection on these first two Sabbaths. But there's more. Perhaps these two Sabbaths also paint a prophetic picture of end times Sabbaths during the Omer some year when Yeshua will again reveal himself to his people. So let's get started. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 31. "When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the taught ones met for fear of the Yehudim, Yeshua came and stood in the midst of them, and said to them, Peace to you. And having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The taught ones therefore rejoiced when they saw the Master. Then Yeshua said to them again, Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And having said this, he breathed on them, and said to them, Receive the set-apart Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Yeshua came. So the other taught ones said to him, "We have seen the Master," but he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and put my finger into the imprint of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I shall by no means believe." And after 8 days his taught ones were again inside, and Thomas with them. Yeshua came, the doors having been shut, and he stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring your finger here, and see my hands, and bring your hand, and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Master and my Elohim." And Yeshua said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, but have believed." There were indeed many other signs that Yeshua did in the presence of his taught ones, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of Elohim, and that believing you might possess life in his name. When you read through this passage in an English translation, it appears that the first time Yeshua revealed himself to the group was on the same day that he was resurrected and appeared to Mary, which was the first day of the week, a Sunday. But is that really the case, and does that even make any sense? Back up a few verses to John chapter 20, verse 17, and we see that Mary from Magdala was the first one to see our risen Messiah in the garden by the tomb early on the Sunday or first day of the week after the first Sabbath after Passover. That would be the morning of the Feast of First Fruits. In John 20, verse 17, Yeshua said to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my Elohim and your Elohim." So then Yeshua was, or is, the first fruits of the resurrection, as we are told in 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead and has become the first fruit of those living fallen asleep. As this first fruits offering, he was being waved or raised up to the Father, Yahweh, as the first fruits offering on the same day he was raised, which of course was the first day of the week. He was going to ascend as the first fruits offering to his Father on the Feast of First Fruits. Did he get back in time to meet with the disciples that same evening? Of course it is possible. However, verse 19 says, "Therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the taught ones met for fear of the Yehudim, Yeshua came and stood in the midst, and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" It says it was evening on that day, the first day of the week. I suppose this would be possible if it were early evening, or actually late afternoon that same day, since the Greek word G3798 in the Strong's, translated here as evening, could be either afternoon, early evening, or nightfall, late evening, according to the Strong's. As we are told in the Genesis creation account, evening, then morning, the first day. Evening for the first day would then have been the evening before, or Saturday evening. I realize this in itself is not conclusive that Yeshua did not actually appear to them as a group that same evening after he would have ascended to his Father, but there's more. Let's take a closer look at each Greek word in verse 19 of John chapter 20 in the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer to see if possibly there is another very legitimate way that it can be translated, which would make more sense in light of his entire word. We'll read it again from the King James Version, which says, "Then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Word for word, according to the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer, this verse would actually read, "Of being then evening to the day that the one of the Sabbaths and of the doors having been locked, where were the disciples having been gathered because of the fear of the Jews, came the Jesus and stood into the midst and is saying to them, Peace to you." So again, the first part of that would be, "Of being then evening to the day that the one of the Sabbaths." The first thing to note here is that the second day that appears in that scripture is in italics or parentheses because it does not even appear in the Greek. There is only one word day in this verse in the Greek, and that is where it does say the same day. The word day is there, even though same is not there, and I'll get into that in a minute. But to start with, where it says being the first day of the week, that day should be italicized or in parentheses in your Bible because that day does not appear there. So it could be being the first of the week. And the word that is translated week there in the Greek is sabbaton, which actually means Sabbaths, and it is translated elsewhere in the New Testament as Sabbath. So, where it says being the first day of the week, it actually would only say being the first of the Sabbaths. And again, we'll go over that again in a minute, word for word, through the interlinear scripture analyzer. The second point to notice here is the word which the interlinear translates as that is translated in the English versions as referring back to the evening of the day as being that same day. It says the same day at evening, being the first day. That is translated in the interlinear, word for word, as saying, of being then evening to the day that the one of the Sabbaths. I'm obviously not a Greek scholar, not even close, so maybe my hypothesis here is wrong, but in other verses where this exact form of this exact word is used, it doesn't refer to what came before it, as the English would have you to believe in this passage, but instead, what follows it. For example, Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, is translated in the English, saying, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. The interlinear here translates it word for word, many shall be declaring to me in that the day, Master, Master, not to thee your name. So again, the word that here is the same word that is translated as referring back to that same evening in John verse 19. But however, here in this verse, it's referring forward, making the day a specific the day. Many shall be deceiving to me in that the day is translated. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. So the that here in this scripture is saying the day is a special day, that the day is the day of the Lord. We know that that is a specific day. So here in this verse, that is what this Greek word that is translated as that is doing. It is referring forward to a specific the day. Many shall be declaring to me in that the day. So if that is the way it is translated here, and that is the meaning of the word that here, referring to a specific day that follows the word that, why wouldn't in John chapter 20, verse 19, this same word be referring forward to the one of the Sabbaths, or the first of the Sabbaths? Again, in the interlinear, it says, of being then evening to the day that the one of the Sabbaths. So that here would be specifying the one of the Sabbaths is a specific Sabbath. It would be the first of the Sabbaths, or the first of the seven Sabbaths leading up to Shavuot, rather than pointing back to say that it was evening of the same day. Let's read it again in the interlinear word for word. Of being then evening to the day that the one of the Sabbaths, that the first of the Sabbaths, because one here also can be translated as first in order. So it would be that the one, or that the first of the Sabbaths, specifying a specific Sabbath. I think it certainly could be signifying the one or first, as the word is also translated as first, the one or first of the Sabbaths, rather than referring back to the same day, because it makes more sense in light of the entire Bible and the fact that the Sabbath is a special meeting day that our Creator wants to meet with His people as a sign between Him and us. What greater sign could there be than having our risen Messiah meet with His people after the resurrection on the first one of the seven Omer Sabbaths? But there's more. So now let's look at John chapter 20, verse 26, which tells us when the second time Yeshua appeared to the disciples as a group after his resurrection was. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Yeshua, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. So then, if Yeshua appeared to the disciples the first time on the evening or beginning of the first of the seven Sabbaths, i.e. Friday evening, leading up to Shavuot, then, after 8 days, in the verse 26, when he appeared to them the second time, would be at the end of the second of the seven Sabbaths. He shows up Friday evening, so then Saturday is 1 day, Sunday is 2, Monday 3, Tuesday 4, Wednesday 5, Thursday 6, Friday 7, and the next Saturday, or the next of the Sabbaths, is day 8. So after 8 days would be at the end of the second of the seven Sabbaths counted up to Shavuot. Why is this significant, or does it even matter? I am of the belief that nothing is in the Bible without a reason. We are told in John precisely the first two times Yeshua appeared to the disciples as a group when they were gathered together. Both times were on a Sabbath, which stands to reason. If the believers weren't gathered together honoring the Sabbaths, which are a commanded sign between our Creator and us, then they would not have been present for Yeshua to appear to them resurrected. They would have missed out, as Thomas did, on the first Sabbath. Thankfully, Thomas had another chance the next Sabbath when Yeshua appeared again. Something else I found very interesting, it seems as though his appearances on the first two Sabbaths were like bookends of some sort. He appeared at the beginning of the first Sabbath, or Friday evening, and then at the end of the second Sabbath, after 8 days, at the end of Saturday. The first time, the majority of the disciples saw him. The second time, the remainder, Thomas, who wouldn't believe unless he too saw him, was allowed the opportunity to see and believe. There are two possible reasons for this that I came up with. One, perhaps this is a prophetic picture of Yeshua revealing himself, possibly physically, but if not, at least spiritually, in the end of days on multiple Sabbaths to different groups leading up to Shavuot. Or possibility number two, it is a prophetic picture of Yeshua coming back physically at the beginning of the thousand-year millennial reign, or seventh thousand-year Sabbath day, Day of the Lord, to reveal himself to his people, who may have heard that he had come once already and was risen, but did not yet believe, as the disciples who were gathered together at the beginning of that first Shabbat did not yet really believe the testimony of Miriam from Magdala that she had seen him risen. Then the second Sabbath, when he again appeared to them at the end of the Sabbath, could foretell that he will again appear bodily at the end of the thousand-year Sabbath to those who, at the end of the thousand years, will not believe the stories passed to them about his appearing at the beginning of the thousand years, unless they too are able to see him physically, as Thomas indicated. I realize the second reason for these beginning and ending Sabbaths, bookends, is a bit of a stretch, since Yeshua is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. However, will he personally be physically present, appearing to everyone the entire millennium? Or will he be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem through his people, whom he fills with his spirit, wisdom, and justice? I have personally always held to the belief that he will be there physically, ruling himself. However, the method of his first coming 2,000 years ago did not look anything like what they were expecting either. So I'm open to other possibilities, especially since Ezekiel chapter 46, verses 16 through 18, which many believe is laying out and describing Israel during the millennial kingdom, speaks of his prince as having sons to pass a land inheritance to. Thus said Yahweh Elohim, if the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, the inheritance thereof shall be his sons. It shall be their possession by inheritance. But if he give a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it shall be his to the year of liberty. After it shall return to the prince, but his inheritance shall be his sons for them. Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance by oppression to thrust them out of their possession, but he shall give his sons inheritance out of his own possession, that my people be not scattered every man from his possession. Much of Ezekiel 44-48 challenges our understanding of what the millennial kingdom will look like, especially since the prince will be conducting sin offerings, see chapters 45 and 46, during the period spoken of in these scriptures. It is very hard to reconcile this as part of the millennial kingdom, since according to our current understanding, based upon the New Testament, Yeshua was made sin for us and took our sins upon himself. He was our sin offering and Passover sacrifice. Or was it the Yom Kippur atonement offering that he fulfilled to atone for or take away our sins? Perhaps the sin offering is just that, an offering that we make to our Heavenly Father because we know that we are sinners and we are sorry for breaking his laws. Sin offerings do not take away sin. They only serve as an admission of and apology for our sinfulness. If you read through Ezekiel chapter 45, verses 18 through 25, which tells us the Passover sacrifices will be made as well as the Sukkot sacrifices, you will notice that the Yom Kippur sacrifices are glaringly absent, as are the Feast of First Fruits offerings as well as the First Fruits offerings for Shavuot. I encourage you to do a closer study of Ezekiel 44-48 for yourselves and let me know what you think via email to hwh@hiswordheals.com. I would love to hear your thoughts. I need to do a closer study myself, as I have not yet done an in-depth study on this prophecy. So let's recap what we looked at today. In John chapter 20, verse 19, our English translations translate it as, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week," when in actuality, if you go back to the original Greek, it actually could say, then the day, being evening, the first of the Sabbaths, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Yeshua and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, "Peace be to you." So it could actually indicate that he appeared to his disciples as a group for the first time on the evening beginning the first Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths that we count the Omer up to Shavuot. Then John chapter 20 verse 26 says, "And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Yeshua, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you." So it would be after 8 days, following his first appearing on the evening beginning the Sabbath, which would be Friday evening, the first Friday evening beginning the first Sabbath, after the Feast of First Fruits leading up to the seven Sabbaths of Shavuot, the seven Sabbaths of the Omer up to Shavuot. So 8 days after Friday evening of the first Sabbath would be at the end of the second Sabbath, or the end of that following Saturday, when he appeared to the disciples for the second time, and to Thomas, who was not with them the first time. As explained, I believe this is very significant, and it is prophetic of either the first two Sabbaths some year leading up to Shavuot, or the beginning and the ending of the millennial Sabbath, the 7,000 years, when Yeshua will rule and reign from Jerusalem with his people. Perhaps he will show himself to his people at the beginning of that 1,000-year millennial reign, or the beginning of that Sabbath, and then again at the end of that Sabbath, or the end of the millennial reign. And we looked at Ezekiel, which talks about sin offerings and about there being a prince who has sons to leave an inheritance to. These are some things to ponder as we're counting the Sabbaths leading up to this Shavuot. Let's pay special attention to each of these Sabbaths and expect him to show himself to us in very special ways, personally, at this very special time on his biblical calendar. Most of all, don't forget to count the Omer. Happy counting! Dear Abba, I pray for everyone listening today. I pray for their families. I pray that you would give them a special blessing and a special revelation of your Son Yeshua as the risen, as our risen King, our risen Savior. Father, visit them in a very special way. I ask that you reveal yourself in a very special way to all of us, Father, to all of your people. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your promises. And thank you for this glorious, happy, joyful time of year that you've given us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Well, we're all out of time for today, but Yah willing, I look forward to studying with you again next week. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.
It is good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving commitment in the morning and your trustworthiness each night on 10 strings and with